You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Hi, everybody. Welcome along to the second episode of our World Cup coverage here on Down the Line as part of the RNIB Connect network. We're going to be having another look back at the fixtures of the past week from Scotland and England, and as well looking ahead at the upcoming fixtures across the next few days and beyond. So, yep, as we were last week, we're joined by Andrew and Macker. So, hi again, guys. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you,
no problem. Good to be here.
We'll start with the Scotland game that was at 2 a.m. on Sunday morning. So, yeah, Macker, coming to you first in terms of, did you enjoy getting up, setting the alarm for 1:30 and tuning into that game? And, general thoughts about Scotland's performance and what that result will mean going forward, a 1-0 win against Haiti, that was.
I was emotional the whole day on Saturday, so I didn't sleep. So much emotion was kicking off that I nearly broke down on national radio. So that was how tense it was on the morning, and that was it, the game hadn't even kicked off then. And obviously getting to the match, yeah, I mean, we're top of the group. How good does that feel? Let's just say that again. We are top of the group. That's brilliant. Not being at the World Cup for 28 years, not won a match in the World Cup for 36 years. So again, that's just... Oh, it feels so good. And I mean, yes, we've done what we needed to do. We got the win, sitting top of the group. Very lacklustre, though, the performance. I thought it was, in a way, I thought the lads and Steve Clark were on a hiding to nothing, because everybody expected Scotland to win by a few goals. So if we had won by a few goals, it would be a case of, oh, well, that's what we expected. But because we didn't, there's been a lot of, some of it's been unjust, the criticism of the team. Everyone shouted for 4-4-2 and they got that formation. And I don't think it personally worked. I think he'll revert back to five for the next two games against Brazil and Morocco. I think we'll play one up front, because ultimately Brazil and Morocco are going to have the ball a lot more than Haiti did. So Scotland are going to do a lot more chasing. We're sitting here now and we could be we're a point away from history. And that's just remarkable when you think about the transformation that Scotland have happened. And like Steve Clark qualified us for the 3 out of the last 4 tournaments. And it just deserves so much credit. And the whole of the USA and Canada and Mexico are falling in love with the Tartan Army as well, which is brilliant. I'm just so happy.
So, yeah, and rightfully so, very positive. I'll play a little bit devil's advocate. Is 1-0 going to be enough? Are we looking, there's these stats kicking about and these percentages about, if 3 points is enough, but as long as you have a goal difference of something like a -1, -2, so that means we're looking at the Morocco-Brazil games. If we're not going to win them, we can't lose them by more than 2 goals each. Is that making you a little bit nervous towards the Morocco and Brazil games?
A little bit. Obviously, we'll take a point now. I would take a 1-0 defeat against Morocco and a 2-0 defeat against Brazil now, because as you said, there's a 64% or 67% chance of us qualifying with 3 points and that goal difference. Or we get a point and then it's basically a 97% chance to say that we're there. So, yeah, I think it's in our own hands, and I think we've just got to go out and perform better than we did against Haiti. And as I said, play at our strengths. We need to get players like Scott McTominay and John McGinn into the game more. I know John McGinn scored and that was brilliant, but we just need to get him into the game more. He was played out of position, I feel. On Saturday, he should have been on the right. I think Ryan Christie will come in. He gives us something else in midfield as well. You might even see Ryan Christie come in for either. Well, I think it'll be for Lewis Ferguson. But again, we missed McKenna on Saturday as well because he was injured, and that was a blow because he's been outstanding for us in the qualifying campaign and in the last Euros. So yeah, it's good, and the nation's unbeaten, positive, and it's good to be back at the World Cup. So come on, Scotland.
And yeah, turning our attentions to the England results. So as we record, England beat Croatia 4-2 last night, and quite a good game. It was certainly an exciting first half. And then England deservedly so getting a win by at least a couple of goals, really, I think, in the end. But how did you enjoy the game, Andrew? General thoughts, and yeah, is that probably enough now that as long as you take care of your next two games against Ghana and Panama, then yeah, you should realistically only be looking at top end of the group now.
Yeah, I think so. I think that yesterday was the toughest game on paper, and you know, Croatia were never a very easy team to break down, but I think that England were playing the better football and, you know, sort of got the rub of the green a little bit in the first half. But the second half, once they made the subs, I thought it changed everything. I thought Rashford made a big difference. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Harry Kane's always a class performer. And then, but I thought they all did well, really. I mean, they looked a little bit shaky at the back. That's the only thing I'd be a little bit nervous of. But then Tuchel does seem to prefer John Stones ahead of anyone else. So perhaps, you know, that's just part of his plan. They look more energetic than they do normally, you know, like, and that's what impressed me, you know, moving forward. You know, I don't know, Ghana used to have some more high profile players. I'm not really sure who's in their team anymore. And Panama, yeah, but hopefully by then they'll be through anyway. But I mean, Panama are a bit of an unknown. But then, you know, I think they should qualify top of the group with 9 points, you'd think.
Yeah. I was really impressed with the likes of Harry Kane and Rashford, as you mentioned, but it seems like these guys that have went across to play in mainland Europe are they seem to just have a different presence about them now. I mean, they look so much more comfortable on the ball. They look more assured. I know it comes with extra experience as well, generally, but yeah, I think Harry Kane looks almost unstoppable, really, as a striker and probably the best out and out striker in the World Cup. And I'm sure we'll come on to another couple of performances from other teams anyway in a second. But yeah, Harry Kane definitely looking like, as long as England can give him the ball in the right areas. And to be honest with you, he's picking the ball up in areas anyway. He's going and searching for the ball and then driving the team forward, which is an improvement on what he's been in the past. What do you make of Harry Kane's kind of improvement?
Yeah, he does more than he sort of seems to spend most of the game in midfield, and then sort of he almost plays in every position. Yeah. But they had a piece about him before the game started about how he's treated at Munich and how much they love him. And I think that does make a difference when they go and play abroad. I think it will help Anthony Gordon as well at Barca. They become a little bit, they have like a different flair about them. Because it never used to happen when we were kids. You never used to see anyone going abroad, really. You get the odd one here and there. But now, I mean, quite a few of that England team have played abroad at some point. You know, Bellingham does. I think Kwanzaa does. And he might have played for Leverkusen.
Mm-hmm.
Rashford did. And then, you know, at least half of them, I think. So I think that does help.
Yeah, did they say something on the stats that like 22 players in the England team have won a trophy in the last two seasons? So it's real experience now in the England team. Going back the last few tournaments, I don't think they were quite at that experience, or they weren't at that experience level. But I think that's the kind of thing that maybe sets them apart from previous squads and gives them a little bit more confidence that they can go on. And even that they have a setback, it goes back to 2-2 right before halftime. A lot of teams, a lot of countries might struggle, but they come out second half very professional and kind of just get the job done from there, make a couple of changes, which were interesting as well. So
I think going back to what we said last week, I think they seem to be playing well as a team yesterday, rather than, you know, in every competition I've ever known, apart from Euro 96 maybe, they all sort of perform okay as individuals, but never seem to sort of get together as a unit, whereas last night you could tell that they had a sort of a certain way of playing, and that they look like they're enjoying it, which, you know, is unusual. But that's what gives me hope. Although, you know, as always with England fans, you know, as soon as the final whistle went last night, suddenly they're planning the parade.
Yeah, oh, totally. That's the hope that kills you in the end, isn't it? Just to round up on our World Cup coverage this week, a couple of mentions for out with the Scotland and England matches. So Spain drawn against Cape Verde, so massive upset there, I guess, and definitely something that, Spain not starting the tournament very strong. But then you look at maybe going back to the last World Cup in Argentina, having a similar result against Saudi Arabia, if we remember Saudi Arabia, wasn't it? And then them going and winning the tournament, so perhaps Spain could take a similar arc in this World Cup. And then also looking at Argentina, Messi scoring a hat-trick, now equaling Klose's record of 16 goals in the World Cup at this point. So yeah, just showing that he's still up there with the very, very best, quite clearly, isn't what do you make of it? Both the Spain results and Messi in general.
I thought Spain and Portugal actually were both very underwhelming. I was really disappointed with Spain and Portugal. But at the same time, I thought, listening to the Spain game, I thought, actually, this should show to Scotland that, you know, you can go out there against the better nations and get a point that's needed. So actually, it gave me encouragement, actually. I think until Germany had won their game, which was which was a fantastic performance as well against Scotland were the only team that, as favourites, beat a lesser nation. So obviously you had Spain drawn with Cape Verde, etc. So actually, when Scotland were getting a lot of criticism, in an actual fact, Scotland did actually go out there and do what they needed to do. So I thought that was really good as well.
And Andrew, would you want to jump in?
Yeah, I think sometimes teams start slow. I think Spain have started slowly in the past, haven't they? But I mean, wasn't that a midday kickoff for them? So perhaps it was just, you know, sometimes the early games aren't always up for it. And I'm sure they'll come good. Portugal have enough talent in their squad, I'm sure they will as well. But it's the teams, you know, like Argentina beating Algeria was fine, but I wouldn't read too much into that. But it's, there are going to be some, you know, like your Saudis, Iran, you know, perhaps a New Zealand or Curacao, one of those teams will be better than you think. And that's what, you know, I'm thinking about Panama. You have no idea who they are, really. They're just they all qualified, so they must all be good enough in their, you know, to get out their respective groups.
Yeah, they qualified and they'd literally just lost to Ghana with the last kick of the ball. So I know Ghana have had some, you know, they've had a couple of Premiership players in their past for them. John Mensah played for Ghana, who used to play for Sunderland. So you've got to give, you know, them credit, because like you say, it's a making World Cup history, just like Uzbekistan. I just thought it was really credit for Panama to sort of push Ghana right to the brink. But Ghana came up with the goods in the end. And yeah, so England, they have 6 points in their group. Yeah. 3 points even, sorry. Just wanted to mention the fan zone. I'm going to, you know, how we're following the games and stuff. I'm going to come up to Scotland for the game tomorrow night in Glasgow at the Hydro, where Duke McLean will be playing Caledonia before the game. And that will just be fantastic, with a comedian, etc. And then go to the Brayhead Arena next Wednesday night for the game against Brazil. So let's hope next Thursday when we're sitting here, Scotland have gone out of their group.
And safe travels to those matches. It's not easy to get to them. And it's a long travel for yourself. So good on you. So just looking ahead at the fixtures coming up for both Scotland and England. So first of all, the two Scotland fixtures are Friday night, that's Friday the 19th against Morocco, and that's an 11 p.m. kickoff. And that's followed by Brazil. Scotland will play against Brazil on Wednesday the 24th, and that again is an 11 p.m. kickoff. And then looking at the England fixtures, so first up for them is Ghana on Tuesday the 23rd, and that's a 9 p.m. kickoff. And then they finish their group stage against Panama on Saturday the 27th of June at 10 p.m. So that rounds up this week's episode of Down the Lines coverage for the World Cup. So the next time we speak to you, the group stages for Scotland will be over and England will just have one more game to play. So we'll round up those games next week and look forward to the rest of the tournament. So cheers, guys.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.